Radio WS, get occupied.
The next stop is Wall Street.
To get people insured while the rich stay rich, the poor get poor. Tell me, what are we paying all our taxes for? We spend more on war than we do on a cure, while insurance makes a killing, the sick get ignored. If you break your arm, you might break the bank. The whole system needs fixing and it just can't wait. So go tell your senator, tell the Congress, tell the president how much we want this, how much we need this, how much we bleed this. Let's put the pressure in, together we'll achieve this. Public option, more like an emergency. Internal bleeding, we're in need of care urgently. So tell the insurance companies and doctors that our patients can't wait any longer. Mr. Lieberman, what about the people in? All the kids living on the edge, teetering, hanging on by a thread, laying sick in bed, left for dead, while you travel around the globe in your corporate jet, getting special interest money while the country's in debt. And your wife's main hobby is working for the lobby, promoting pharmaceuticals and insurance monopolies. Not to mention campaign contributions. That's the problem, not the solution. My conclusion, a peaceful revolution. But it seems that we're lost in the illusion, 'cause they got a split right down the center, conservative and liberal. But always remember, at the end of the day, we're all the same. Whatever happened to hope, I think it's time for a change.
If you believe in universal health,
so the health insurance industry today, if they were actually fulfilling their contract and providing you with health insurance when you got sick, they wouldn't be able to generate that much profit. They've broken their promise. And it really goes back to something I laugh about when you listen to Republicans and conservatives talk about, like, Jesus this and Jesus that, Jesus stuff, that even the Bible says that a contract is somewhat holy, it's sanctified, that it's an agreement between both people. The health insurance companies made you a promise. If you get sick and you pay for your premiums, we'll provide you with health care. And then when you get sick, they're like, nope, can't do it. Well, that's pretty easy, right? That's an easy racket. Well, it's also a really bad business model. That's why a lot of these small businesses and larger businesses are struggling under growing costs. If the price keeps going up forever, eventually the system breaks and we can't have it anymore. Well, that's where we are now. We can't live in a country where it goes from 17% of the economy to 25% of the economy. We're literally spending more than everyone else in the world on healthcare, and we're getting less out of it than everyone else in the world. You know, when the Obama healthcare reform passed through the Supreme Court and they labeled it constitutional, and Republicans were screaming about, like, we're going to leave America and go to Canada. Yeah, they have socialized healthcare too. It turns out we're the only country in the world with a first world standard of living and bad healthcare. So where are you going to run to? Everywhere else is better than America on that track. But more to the point, it's not about the profits, it's not about the cost, it's about the human cost. People are literally dying. 1/6 of the children in America are living in poverty. They don't have health care. And it blows me away that for some reason zygotes are holy and they're people and they have feelings and emotions and they feel pain. But as soon as you pass out of the uterus, it's your problem. Deal with it, kid. Oh, I'm sorry you had that pre-existing condition. You're just going to have to get a job. No one can afford that unless you're rich. And of course, the rich people are complaining because they can afford it, but they're getting raked over the coals too. I mean, you know, these easily preventable deaths. It blows me away that people call themselves patriots and they're weeping in the streets. Oh my God, 9/11, they attacked us. But the health insurance companies kill 10 times that many people every year. And you know what? If someone really believes in healthcare, then I agree. We should take the middleman out of the system. And that, I mean, take the for-profit middleman in the system. I want a single-payer system, or at least a nonprofit public option. To me, I don't think that a portion of my insurance money should go to their profit. It should go towards my healthcare. And the thing about the healthcare reform that a lot of people don't understand is that it mandates that they have to spend a certain amount of your premiums on actual healthcare. And if they don't, you get a check back. Yeah, now I know why they call it a death panel. Now I know why they're against it so much. It's because you might actually get what you paid for. And that's as un-American as it gets if you're a Republican. Rant off. Thank you.
The United States is spending more of our national wealth, more of our business firms' income, more of our family and individual income on health care than any of our industrial competitors anywhere in the world. And there's an emerging consensus we're not getting what we're paying for. We're not getting the quality that everyone wants and deserves, and we're certainly not getting the coverage that everyone wants and deserves.
The goal of health care reform is not to protect the private health insurance industry.
49 million uninsured Americans.
Lack of health care is the seventh largest cause of death in America.
Joyce Levine has been the primary caregiver of her 88-year-old mom, who's been suffering from Parkinson's-related dementia, a host of other age-related medical problems, and is steadily declining.
Nafi Abu Bakar
is a full-time live-in health aide taking care of Joyce's mom. Nafi's from Ghana, and because of the quality of her work, dedication, and character, has become a member of the Levine family.
In Ghana, we take care of them by ourselves. We, the kids, the parents, take care of the old people. Over here in America, you have people to take care of the old ones during their last stages. In Ghana, to bring someone from somewhere to come and take care of either your mom or your dad, it will be tough for them to accept it, because we believe in the way your mom took care of you, you have to take care of her before she dies. Where I'm from, all what we are doing is out of love, either your parents or whoever it is. That's the reason why we don't bring someone. Because what is the person going to show to the dying person or the person sick? We show a lot of love to our old people on their sick bed.
Joyce became an expert on geriatric health care from the caregiver's perspective.
Problems I had with Medicare was that things that could have been done at home would have been more beneficial to my mother at home. Medicare would not cover. If you can't pay for a medication to get it administered at home, they put you in a rehab center for 2 weeks to get it there. And that would have been money better spent giving her home care. It would have saved the Medicare system a lot of money. Their priorities are just totally backwards. She declined any time she was out of her home setting. They all declined because I couldn't be there all the time. And no aides that worked in the rehab would go in and talk to her. She was somebody who laughed all the time, who made jokes, who didn't care if she was the butt of jokes. From lack of companionship, she just closed down. She stopped talking. She stopped trying to walk. I know a number of cases just because I did work in adult daycare for a time, and anyone who got sick enough that they had to go either for rehab or had just been placed in a nursing home because their families couldn't or didn't want to deal with it anymore died within the month. Whether that was mental or the care they got there, I don't know.
It's easy to underestimate the importance of the home health aide, who spends the most time with the patient and is usually involved in the most intimate physical handling.
My mother's very first aides she had before she declined so much were great, especially the first one. The first one was kind of irreverent and stormed into the house, had a wonderful personality, brought her out of herself, brought her out of a depression. She talked to her. They laughed all the time. The other two were great, but it seems like the more my mother declined and the harder it got to deal with her, the worse the aides got, until I got Mayama, who's from Liberia, and Nafi. And since my first three aides, and I've gone through probably six in between, they were the only two good aides I had that really cared for my mother. They loved her like their own mother, and they so much as said so. We're basically family now.
And then there are the doctors.
We've gone through so many doctors. The one thing with anybody with dementia or Alzheimer's does not like the change. It confuses them even more. Anybody with dementia is confused enough now to keep changing people, just throws them over the edge. I was, I guess, proactive, where some people will just go by anything that the doctor says. I get more involved. The good thing is I had doctors who would listen to me and not just say, I'm the doctor, what are you coming to me for if you think you know so much? I kind of had to come with my own diagnoses and say, can you test for this maybe? At least I had a doctor who would go along with me and follow through with what I said. The immediate caregiver, the family member, the one who really, truly cares, you're their advocate. It's your responsibility to talk to the doctors, not be afraid to question what they do, to not just go along with whatever anybody has to say. If you have doctors or nurses or anyone that gets aggravated because you do, then that's not who you want to be going to begin with. And the doctors that I found are the best ones are the ones that let me question them. When it came down to a decision on whether to go further with more invasive treatments, I had one doctor who knew me and told me where to stop and don't put my mother through anymore. Most doctors won't do that. Have a relationship with your doctors if you possibly can.
One of the most difficult issues for a caregiver to confront is if and when a nursing home or rehab center is needed.
I was under stress at the time. However, for me personally, it would be more stressful to see my mother in a nursing home. Food was shoved down them. They didn't have time to chew. They were never spoken to. It's like they weren't even human anymore just because they couldn't really interact with you. And that's definitely not where you want anybody that you love to be. I was being forced into making a decision about hospice a year ago by the social workers at the hospital. They had me talk to one person who sounded like a funeral director, and I was not ready to send my mother to a grave. She lasted another year, had a great year. Don't put your parent in a nursing home if you could find a good daycare, which is extremely hard to find. Gotta be something done about getting more daycares out there, keeping people active, keeping their minds going, and not just throwing them in a nursing home or lock them up at home and not have the time to spend with them.
It's business over here. A lot of the caregivers just do it for the money. You just take care of the person. They don't put all their heart and their feeling in the job. They don't show any passion, any love, any care.
Every person that you're taking care of is an individual with their own needs and their own problems. My experience with my mother, who's an individual, she has things that I know hurt her when you move her a certain way. Don't just go into every house and assume that you know how to take care of every person. You know the basics, but you don't know what every individual might need. Sometimes those people that you're caring for, if they have Alzheimer's or dementia, can't speak for themselves or don't know what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I know cared about my mother, the ones that later said, I came in knowing my job, but I've learned a lot from you besides.
That's what Joy said. If you feel that you've gone to school, learn about this job, you have never learned anything. If you listen, you will learn more. Don't show yourself, oh, I know, I've gone to school, I do. You've known nothing, because even though I've been to the school and everything, and I've been in the field more than 2 years now, my latest daughter used to teach me a lot of things, so we get along good.
Who was your latest daughter?
My latest daughter is Joyce.
On August 13th, Joyce's mom, our mom, died at home.
Suppose we look at the problems of a family perhaps much like yours.
I went down to the St. James Infirmary. 60 people waiting there. It was 8 a.m. in the morning, and we barely had the cab fare. First they handed me a pile of papers. The first page was easy to do. It said, who is your health insurer? I wrote none, turned to page 2. Well, they finally examined her that evening. Well, they wanted to operate, but we can barely afford the mortgage, so the operation had to wait. The
Radio WS caught up with Eve Gittleson, also known as NYC Eve from Daily Kos. Eve has been a longtime healthcare advocate working with Democracy for America and has sat on the board of California One Care, a single-payer advocacy organization.
Number one, the Affordable Care Act eliminates lifetime benefits. So if, God forbid, you have a sick child or you're yourself sick, and you've run up huge medical bills, and that's very easy to do if you have a terrible illness, you are no longer capped out at $1 million. If your treatment costs $4 million, the scum insurance companies have to pay whatever it costs. And those lifetime caps are eliminated forever. The rescissions where a person was paying for insurance, and then when they finally had to use it, the insurance company said, oh, no, you don't have insurance anymore. That is gone. It, of course, the whole issue of pre-existing conditions is going to be eliminated in 2014. And that means that all Americans, no matter their health, will be able to buy insurance and have some reasonable coverage if they become ill.
We talked about the benefits of the Affordable Care Act.
The Affordable Care Act also requires insurance companies to provide certain preventative care and childhood immunizations at no cost to the consumer. So, for example, if you need a colonoscopy or a mammogram or your child needs immunizations, you will get that now at no cost, no copay, and various routine health checks will also be provided at no cost. As we all know, young people who are graduating from college, who may not have found a job, will be able to stay on their parents' health plan until they're 26, which is very important because in this very difficult job market, young people are not getting jobs as quickly as they were hoping to. Now, there are going to be various levels of coverage you can purchase. Healthcare advocates and activists such as myself, we believe that the benefits are not going to be what they should be, and that's going to be a big problem. Cost of good coverage is going to be out of reach for most Americans, so they'll have to get a lower actuarial value plan, which, you know, will be better than nothing. The platinum level will be a 90% actuarial value. The gold level will be an 80%. Silver will be 70%, and bronze 60% actuarial value. But a lot of people believe, and I fear that they're correct, that this will be insurance that people will not be able to afford to use, meaning they will have coverage. They will have to buy the coverage, but it will require co-pays and co-insurance and out-of-pocket and deductibles so that it will essentially not be usable for a lot of people. Now, if the job market improves and if incomes start to go up again a little bit, that situation will be remedied to a certain extent, but it's going to be very, very difficult, and that's the reason why we believe long-term this is not going to work. However, it's better than nothing.
I want to know more about the penalty from the individual mandate.
The penalty, in fact, is so modest that, as you might imagine, the for-profit insurance industry says very openly that this penalty is basically worthless because people who don't want to buy insurance are simply going to, you know, take the penalty. And if you read the Affordable Care Act, when you can't go to jail, if you choose not to buy insurance and have to accept this penalty, it's not like a black mark against you. It's just a penalty. And the insurance industry is very unhappy with the penalty because they don't think it's severe enough to induce participation.
And that sports wrap-up. Stay tuned for Claims Department of Our Lives.
Okay, stop the presses. We got a tough one, buddy boy.
Well, it's almost lunchtime. How tough can it be?
Another sad story about cervical cancer. And guess what? She wants treatment.
Oh, my wife had that a few years ago after I gave her HPV.
Well, she can't say you never gave her anything, right? You know, they wanted to give my daughter a shot for that. I told them, no way. She doesn't need any help to turn her into a slut. Anyway, the mope we have here doesn't have HPV.
Okay. So what can we use as a pre-existing condition?
Well, her chart says she had a broken leg in 92.
Bit of a stretch, boss.
Well, look here. What about these vaccinations she missed?
Won't work. She was only 3.
Yeah. Says here she's married. Wait a minute. She had sex! Sex is a pre-existing condition
for HPV! And HPV is a pre-existing condition for...
Cervical cancer! Bang! Zoom! Coverage denied!
Claim denial bonus time. Oh man, here she comes.
Hey guys, did you get the claim I sent over to you?
Yes, I did, thank you. Based on careful analysis, we have concluded that we must deny her coverage due to a pre-existing condition.
I don't get it. What pre-existing condition? What's the big discussion? She needs treatment.
Who the hell is this?
That's Kelly. She started last week.
You guys sound like the CIA. I thought this was a health insurance company.
Don't worry, honey. You'll catch on.
Wait a minute. This just isn't right. She'll die if she doesn't get treatment quick. It's curable. This could be your mom, your wife, your daughter. Healthcare is caring for people's health, our nation's health. Our troops sacrifice life and limb every day. What do we sacrifice?
You know, kid, maybe you got a point there. It's true, boss. What do you say?
You know, Eddie, she's right. Really makes you stop and think, don't it? Sacrifice. Hell, I got a promotion on the line. You got your retirement parachute. There's an empty office right around the corner there, Kelly, waiting for some young blood. You know, it's about time we had a female exec up here. Someone young and energized. And there are those claim denial bonuses, too. But you know, aren't we already living the good life? Maybe there's something more important.
There are things in life more important.
She did have sex, though. Probably cheated on her husband.
A sin in God's eyes.
Claim denied.
Yes!
I think I heard the lunch bell.
They're playing our tune, Kelly. First female exec in the claims department.
The claims department of our lives was brought to you by Zyclonics, the first name in health insurance.
I've worked with special needs children for the last 7 years. Primarily children with autism. Autism is a spectrum. It fluctuates between very high and very low. You know, children that are very low tend to have problems with gross motor skills, feeding themselves, ADL skills like going to the bathroom or washing their hands. And high-functioning kids, they can have a huge problem with social integration, with trying to fit in, with learning how to be able to look at their friends and laugh. Now, to teach these children, we use something called ABA, Applied Behavior Analysis, where we take a big skill like, you know, washing your hands, and we break it down into small steps, turning on the water, turning off the water, getting a paper towel, throwing it out. And to be able to do that, you need a certain type of skill set. You need to be able to understand the functioning level of a child and where they are at. And that requires a great deal of clinical knowledge. Now, I've been through college, and once I had that experience, I realized I knew nothing. I really had to rededicate myself and try and learn as much as I could about this disorder if I was going to help these children. Now, I'm 7 years into it. I've been working my entire adult life to be able to change the outcomes of these children's lives. I still have problems being able to afford a MetroCard or afford school. And I can look at that guy at Starbucks, that barista, and that guy, you know, he has health insurance. He might even have a union. I've loved doing this for my life, and I want to continue doing it. I want to help people. And the work I do, starting salary is around $10 an hour. For those that require the most attention, get the people that are paid the lowest amount of money. What do we value as a society? And how do we judge a society? Do we judge it by how we take care of those on the very top, or those who do the hardest work, and those who have historically been left by the side of the road?
And to take them in sickness and in health, till death do you part.
I do.
The important promises we make for life. Whether you're sick or well, Zyclonics Health Insurance will be here. You can count on it. Awaiting your quarterly premium payment, and you can count on us being here next quarter. and the next. Because, well, that's just how life is here in America. Call us and let's celebrate life together. Zyclonix Health Insurance will be alive and healthy after death do we part. And for a long time after, we'll always be here. In good health, you can count on it.
Insurance companies are getting away with murder. Around Christmas, when my daughter passed away, their CEO, he made $3 million as a bonus.
I was your insurance commissioner for 8 years, and I know the insurance industry. They have but one purpose, and that's the bottom line.
Profit.
Profit.
Pharmaceutical industry spent $1.4 million a day on the Hill during the reform debate. In the last decade, they spent $900 million lobbying Congress.
Profit!
Profit!
I was recently calling a doctor to consult about birth control, and in a five-minute conversation, the doctor was trying to sell me antidepressants. Are they being lobbied themselves from drug companies?
Healthcare. It may well be that everybody needs health care sooner or later, but not everybody needs a heart transplant. Everybody has to buy food sooner or later, so you define the market as food. Therefore, everybody's in the market. Therefore, you can make people buy broccoli.
This legislation we seek to repeal is rooted in having federal bureaucrats come between patients and their doctors.
The bullshit! Bullshit.
The bullshit for today?
For today?
Government bureaucrats coming between us and our doctors.
Time to occupy some of that bullshit.
It'll be a while before we see how Obama's healthcare semi-reform bill plays out. In our free market-based healthcare system, insurance companies have been denying around 21% of claims received. At least that seems to be the percentage in California, which for some reason is the only state that requires health insurers to make that info public. It's estimated that 36% of those who try to purchase health insurance in individual plans, as opposed to group plans, were denied coverage due to pre-existing conditions. Insurance companies will now be barred from denying care due to pre-existing conditions. But look at the mindset that employed that strategy. A pre-existing condition had been defined as something as non-life-threatening as a sports injury or hay fever. Hay fever? Well, that's a respiratory condition, right? Therefore, a sudden attack of pneumonia or bronchitis, also respiratory conditions, can be denied coverage on the grounds of a pre-existing condition. Another popular coverage killer app is the rescission. Now, that's when the insurer can cancel policies, even retroactively, because something, anything, that was supposed to be stated on the original paperwork was not stated. It could be something you were not even aware of at the time. A large portion of office real estate in these insurance companies is devoted to finding reasons to deny claims. Now, that's a lot of overhead, lots of bills to be paid, not to mention renovations on the multiple homes owned by the ranks of upper management. We know that government-run health care for all is a symptom of socialist tyranny. The Christian God hath bestowed upon the USA a free market-based healthcare system wherein insurance companies serve as the gatekeepers. Now, the purpose of healthcare is to keep people functional so they can pursue happiness, productivity, and the perpetuation of our species. On the other hand, the purpose of an insurance company is to make lots of money to provide dividends for investors and mega wealth for upper management, and to make more money than it did last quarter, last year, and last decade. Paying out medical claims to its dirtbag clientele is money lost. Bad for biz. So essentially, our healthcare system is based on denying healthcare for people who've been paying ever-escalating premiums, maybe for decades. Somewhere in the labyrinthine bureaucracy of your insurance company's claims department, lurking about in one of the thousands of squalid cubicles lined with tarantula webs and rotted takeout leftovers, there's been a wheezing, emaciated bureaucrat who's been standing between you and your doctor.
In fact, those death panels the right wing nuts have been screaming about in Obamacare has been around for a very long time. It's the insurance company claims department, like the one that decided to let Obama's mom die of cancer rather than pay for her treatment. Bullshit flies on the wings of ignorance. Knowledge eats bullshit for lunch. Bon appetit.
This is Wall Street.
Produced by Pilar Levine, production manager Austin Hill, music by Goldie Shakarillas and Polarity One, Universal Healthcare by MC Yogi, St. James Infirmary by Polarity One, Rant On, Jesse LaGreca, Obamacare Explained interview, and Healthcare Workers Pay testimonial produced by Austin, Geriatric Care interview produced by Pilar, Claims Department of Our Lives by Austin and Pilar, voices by Austin Chamion and Pilar, Zyklonix Health Insurance commercial by Pilar, voices by Pilar, Austin, and Chamion. The healthcare segment musical Cliff's Notes, Polarity One. Occupy that bullshit, Pilar.
Radio WS. Get occupied.